So you guys know, I've known Pastor Steve for quite some time. Him and his ministry have sowed into me when things didn't look so great. Amen? They spoke into my life. You know, they prayed. And they have some grandchildren, which are from their spiritual son. And I remember a time when me and my wife were just broken. And these kids, I mean, little kids that know how to pray. Amen? I mean, know how to pray. When I say they know how to pray, they know how to pray. They laid hands on us. Pray for us. And man, I'll tell you what, God started moving, amen? But they've been a part of our family, so they're a part of our family, amen? Hallelujah. And you know, Team Jesus, what they do is they go into broken places, amen? Much like Jesus does, amen? Because Jesus is trying to go into your broken place if you let him come in, amen? That's what the Holy Spirit's trying to do, is get into that broken place in you, amen? But they go into, you know, the Kansas City. They go all over America. They go all over the world, really. I'm going to let Pastor C tell you more about it, but it's just incredible the amount of time and effort that they put in feeding the hungry, to going in restoring the broken, and God has equipped them with everything. They trust in Jesus, amen. They trust in the Lord for their provision, amen. And he's been providing, because we serve an exceedingly and abundant God. If you didn't know, we serve an exceedingly and abundant God, and that's what he does. He does exceedingly abundantly more than you can think, amen. Hallelujah. But yeah, I'm truly grateful for Team Jesus and what they've sown into me and what they're going to bring into this house and what they're doing for the world. So Pastor C, we love you. Mama C, we love you. That's Pastor C and Mama C. So, you know, amen. Hallelujah. Let's welcome the man of God up here. Amen. Praise God. Hallelujah.
Good morning.
Good morning.
I'm going to try that again. Good morning.
Good morning.
I don't feel like a guest. I just feel like family. Amen. And I'm honored that the Lord allowed me to see a new day.
Check.
Amen. I don't take that lightly. I'm blessed to be honored to have my wife, Mama C, my granddaughter, and my spiritual son, Fidel, to be traveling. And we're bringing the whole team, but we got three assignments going simultaneous. We're on the ground for the World Cup. 600,000 to 700,000 people coming in our vicinity. So we got teams on the ground for that. Then we got our regular Sunday service. Amen. But I didn't come and spend a lot of time talking about us. Thank you for such an honor. And I was visiting. Since he reached out to me a couple of months ago, I always ask the question, why? I don't just go places to preach. I don't need a platform to preach. There are 160,000 people dying around the world every 24 hours. And my greatest impact is going to be outside the four walls. So it's rare that I go to churches. I just don't go into the church platform as much. And I've made a commitment to go after the lost and the broken. Amen.
Amen.
But when my son of the Lord, me and his former pastor, Pastor Billy, we love him. I've been knowing him over 8 years, and everything he said, we can bear witness to that. And I said, well, Lord, I love him, but I don't want to go just because of the invitation. Because we can go because somebody invited us. But I only want to go, Father, because we want it to be your perfect will, not your permissive will. We've learned to operate in a permissive will that has become part of our norm. And God, he loves us so much, he'll give us things to satisfy us. Amen. But it also can destroy you on the back end. So I've learned to live, God, I only want your perfect will. And that can be uncomfortable. Amen. And so as we was coming down the road and just praying and meditating, me and Mama said, Lord, let thy will be done. But I only want your perfect will. So I feel at home. I'm grateful for the love that we felt from the time we came in the parking lot, from the first greeter to the doors. That was amazing. Amen. Amen. It's good to feel welcome when you go into the house of God. Amen. Everyone in here has a story. Amen. Amen. We all have what? We all have what? A story. Now, three things I want you to do. Don't prejudge me. I'm going to encourage you. I'm going to challenge you. I'm going to push you over that cliff, because that's what I'm called to do. Amen.
Amen.
I'm going to encourage you. I'm going to challenge you. I'm going to push you over that cliff. But I didn't come to judge. The only person who can do that is Jesus. Amen?
Amen?
And so if the enemy tell you he's judging and prejudging, I don't know nobody in here but Jeff and his family. That's it. Amen. And my son Sam and his wife and mama. So I take that very serious. And the reason I say that, because the enemy is so crafty, he'll whisper into your ear at the same time God is talking to you. And you'll miss what God is trying to do to bring deliverance in your life. Amen? Because the enemy know how to intervene. The enemy is in, he comes, people, you can have the presence and the glory of God. And Job makes it very plain. He's saying, and when the sons of God before God, Satan was there too. Amen. And so when you've been in the presence of God, Satan is over there trying to disqualify everything you tell God. And his job is to bring everything you did wrong to God. Amen? To disqualify you. Ain't that something? Can I move this man of God? I'm going to walk. Let's have my son read for me. So I want to talk to you real quickly. And I'm saying that I want to enjoy myself with the Lord. Amen? I'm not a face reader. I'm not into Christian theatrics. And I don't come to make people feel good. We're in the worst season of our life. Like I said, we're losing 160,000 souls every 24 hours. Is that a big number? We got the highest divorce rate in the house of God than we've ever had before. We got worship leaders living lukewarm lives. I'm saying it's not to judge the church. I'm just having dialogue. Amen. And we understand how to wear a veil to come into the house of God. So I'm going to talk to you about a spotted veil. Because we've learned to be so inconsistent that we can have circular music and go into the house of God with no conviction. We can watch a circular show and feed our flesh and spend 3 or 4 hours on Facebook and come to the house of God like we're perfect. That's what I'm talking about, a spotted veil. Amen. We have learned to greet a sister or brother, and yet we got envy and jealous in our heart toward them. I'm talking about a spotted veil. Because we've learned the enemy has taught us to be Christian theatrics, and that's why the house of God struggle so much with their glory, not smoke screen, where the glory comes in and bring, watch this, permanent transformation. Not temporary, but bringing what? Permanent transformation. Well, we got men in the house of God that's verbally abusing their wives. And the wife is so consumed by the benefits and the attributes of the marriage, she's scared to tell the pastor, he's talking to me like a dog. He came from work and he still had alcohol on his breath. We're talking about the house of God. Yeah. You don't get quiet after a while, and that's okay. Because I ain't come for nothing. I'm so blessed it'll make you scared, amen? Yeah. He know before he invited me why he wanted me in his house. Y'all miss that. He didn't just invite me just to invite me. Amen. Because he know I love Jesus more than anything. Amen. Amen. And we got wives that wear the pants more than wearing a dress in the house of God. And the house is twisted and the kids have no respect for the father because the house is twisted. I'm very prophetic, but I would never shame nobody. Amen? Because I know Jezebel's spirit. I know spirit of deception. I know this is just, you have to be equipped to do the work of God. I don't go into a house that's judged, but to challenge you and do what? Push you over the edge. Can y'all take a ride with me this morning? Can I make you a little bit uncomfortable? But if you can hold on, we can all be blessed in it. Amen? Stand up on your feet if you don't mind. If you got a Bible, I'm going to do something. I feel like that I'm at home. He know how I roll for Jesus. Thank the Lord for my wife. Raise your hand, wife. I want you to come to the center of the floor. I know what love, come to the center of the floor. I know what love look like. Come over here right quick. Yes, just for a minute. I know what love look like to the best of our ability. Before I married her, I didn't know what love looked like. Amen. But this is a praying woman. But I got to take you to my journey before the cross, before I can take you after the cross. Because I can come be spiritual deep and do all that stuff, but you got to know we had a life before the cross. How many of y'all had a life before the cross? We got some real people up in here. And I love strippers and prostitutes. That was my thing. Y'all, I got quiet on me just now. You see what I'm saying? Like, I'm in the wrong house. I didn't just come to church normal. I needed to be in the strip club in pervertedness because I watched so much pornography, I couldn't have a normal relationship. I'm talking about before the cross. Are you with me? And then anybody I mess with, I said, girl, we about to watch some pornography together so we can experiment. I'm talking about before the cross. And then you get contaminated, and by the time you come past the cross, I don't even know how to have a pure relationship. Y'all miss that. Because I got to be washed from the things that jacked me up before the cross. Are you with me, saints of God? And so I don't know how to look at a pure and holy because I'm still seeing strippers in the Victoria's Secret. What does norm look like? It's a process. It's a process. That's before the cross. Spent all my money. I just got paid on Friday, and the strippers and the clubs and a good time. By Monday, I'm broke. Nothing about Jesus. Can you see what I'm saying? And so when you come into the house of God, most men are still transitioning. Like I'm trying to have a peer relationship with my wife, but I'm still having visions of the strippers. Or the ones that sending me stuff on Facebook. You see what I'm saying? And so when you come in the house of God, we wear a veil that's spotted. Because there's nobody we can talk to because we don't want to feel to be judged as a believer. When you should run to the altar and say, God, I still need help. I don't know how to treat my wife as a woman of God. We're going to be all right. I could be me, right? Praise God. Then the wife is transitioning because she learned to use that tool for the wrong purpose. Y'all missed that. Y'all got real quiet. It ain't for to glorify God. It ain't to have fruit for babies. It's to control and to manipulate. And so she's still stuck because that's the only tool she know how to use to control her man. Oh, y'all got real quiet. And so by the time you come into the house of God, we all still transform because we don't know how to use what God has given us in ways that glorify God. And we got to deal with that. And if you bypass that process, you will come and say, praise God, hallelujah, speak in your little tongues, and still be broken with a spotted veil. You understand what I'm saying? Because you say, if I talk to the pastor about this, he might judge me. Wrong. Pastor, I still need help. When my wife is sleeping and my kids sleeping, I'm going downstairs and I'm looking at the strippers on my phone. But on Sunday morning, I praise God. When I should run into the house of God and say, God, have mercy upon me. I still need help. Are you with me, saints of God? Because see, there's a transformation that takes place before the cross, but it's still in process when you get on the other side of the cross. Two sisters in the Lord cannot have an honest relationship because one is still envy and jealous. Worrying about chewing what you have. Come on, you need Jesus. And so if you give a hug and say you love to, guess what? You have a spotted veil. Are you with me? This is my wife. Are we in on one accord? Can I preach this Jesus? Because I would dare get up here and meet her and not on one accord. I ain't coming to entertain you. I got to make sure my house in order. I got to make sure me and her on one accord. I didn't come for you to say, look at him. No, if they on one accord. If she rolling her eyes at me as I share the gospel. Oh, y'all missed that. Lift your Bibles up if you got it. We can. I can push them over the edge a little bit, right? I'm at home, right? All right. This is just a declaration of the word. This is my weapon. See, you sound weak. When I was before the cross, I was the loudest thing in the club. I ain't never got quiet. That's why I love Jeff. I'm going to be loud and dangerous. Say it again. This is my weapon. And God cannot lie. My healing is in the word of God. And God cannot lie. My deliverance is in the word of God. And God cannot lie. My destiny is in the word of God. And God cannot lie. God, I thank you for these 66 books. And you cannot lie. Give Jesus a hand of praise for your declaration. You can be seated. You can be seated. Because there's a weapon. Amen. We're talking about a spotted veil. I started this series while I was in Louisiana a couple of days ago. And I recognize we have learned to be great actors. That's what a spotted veil. Well, I just got off of Facebook taking selfies. You got a false life. That ain't real. It looks good to someone that you may try to impress, but to God, you're just wasting time. God needs you to use that time being productive, praying, and staying pure and holy and living a consecrated life. Are you seeing what I'm saying? Or you easily defended because somebody put a false picture saying, look, we so happy. If it ain't about J-E-S-U-S, you are not happy. You've created, you ready for this? A false trinity, me, myself, and I. Can y'all dance with me just a little bit? I say I come to encourage you, right? I come to challenge you, right? I'm just going to push you over the edge. And so the enemy has taught us to wear a veil, and the veil is spotted because it has a false trinity, me, myself, and I. And so the house of God has become a place where most believers are what? Easily offended. If the pastor has to correct you, you're upset. and you stop giving. If the pastor got to say, look, yeah, your heart was not in that song, sit down for the next month because you're singing for self, no longer about God. Somebody might get offended. Because you really want to know what you're saying is when you check somebody in church and say, sit down, sit down, sit down. God ain't being glorified. Your gift is not edifying God. It's edifying me, myself, and I. Is that not dangerous? Tell your neighbor, say, a veil that's spotted. Let's look at the text. Where are we going? Tell me where we're going. Talk loud, son.
2 Corinthians 3:12.
Uh-huh.
Seeing then that we have such hope.
Everybody got it? Because I want you to be able to hold me accountable for the word. Amen. Amen. I don't have no Christian theory. Actually, I want you to look at the word and say, take a look at yourself. We all struggle with a false trinity. Why? Because the enemy want to hold on to us. But I got an answer for you. His name is Jesus. Read it, son. Put your mic close, son. Got to be loud.
Seeing then that we have such hope, we use great plainness of speech.
Go ahead.
And not as Moses, which put a veil.
Oh, what did Moses put on his face?
Man.
What did Moses put on his face?
Man.
Watch this. Moses was so anointed with God that the more he stayed in the presence of a holy God, he had to put a veil on him. Because the veil washes, the residue of God's presence lingered on Moses. Y'all miss that? See, we have learned just to have just a raindrop of God's presence instead of a residue of God's presence. Because a residue of God's presence is going to require you to live a very structured, disciplined, sanctified, holy life till Jesus come back. This is not a game to be playing with God. God, I need your presence to become the residue. How many of y'all want the presence? I ain't talking about just doing the church service on Sunday morning. Your neighbors get scared when you come out the house. The people on your jobs are getting out the way when you go on the job. When you go in the grocery, say, man, what is going on? The presence and the glory of God is leading people into repentance. Are y'all with me? Praise God. But if you ain't got no presence and you had a little Sunday morning residue, you can't fight them demons. You plain. So Moses had the residue of God's glory. It was so brilliant, he had to wear a veil. And when the children of Israel saw the glory of God, they would fall down and begin to worship God because the Spirit of God was real. This is not to hurt nobody. Your family know if you're a real deal. When you go in the house, if there's no change and they see you come in the house and they make in front of you, you don't have the presence of God on you. It's compromise. I'm on my grandchildren right now because they just visit for the summer. And I'm on about these cell phones. I said, well, in grandpa's house, we got to have balance and standard. That some parents, they're so bored, they don't even have time to invest into their children, grandparents. They just give them cell phones. So you've given them to the devil. And you help pay for the devil to watch this strip the appearance from them. Because we don't have enough time to invest Bible study at home before you come to church. Are you with me? Says to God. Well, let me just buy them a phone. You made no. They need more of Jesus. Now you end up having a 12 or 13 year old being molested by a stepfather or somebody, and she's too scared to tell. And because you ain't been in the presence of God's glory, you don't even know she's been violated. Stay in His presence, because the presence of God will reveal the vulnerability of people. Sister, I'm sorry. Is your husband verbally abusing you? Oh, I don't want to tell. Tell. Expose that devil. Pastor, he got beers in the refrigerator talking about he's a believer. He's drunken. No, he ain't no believer. He has a false trinity. Me, myself, and I. He ain't saved. He don't love Jesus. It's just a disguise. So the question you ask yourself, why would you stay in an environment where the presence of God does not rest in room? You know why? Because you like that type of lifestyle. Are you with me, saints of God? I didn't come to judge. I'm just going to push you over the edge. Is that all right?
Amen.
Because I just want you to take a look and say, truly, Father, am I saved? But the book of Revelation tells us the Laodicea church. See, in the latter days, the church is going to try to look more holy without the presence of God. So you can do anything that looks like the church, sound like the church, clap like the church, but the glory and the residue of God is not there. That's why we go back into sin just like that. It's no conviction. Are you with me, saints of God?
Yeah.
Read, soldier.
Moses, which put a veil over his
did? Lift your hands and say, God, lead me to your presence. I need a veil to be on my face. I don't want just a raindrop. I want the glory of God that I have to wear a veil. That people know I've been in the presence of the real God. Give God a hand of praise if you're going to go after that. I mean, give God a true praise if you're going to go. I ain't talking about that little fake residue. God, I need to have the presence of God that I need a veil. You can win more souls to the kingdom if we just live this thing for real. Because people ain't living it for real in the house of God. The problem is not outside the church. The problem is inside the church. It's a constant war. And the enemy don't mind you being comfortable with the devil being in the house. I'm checking everybody. If you ain't got time for Bible study and prayer, you can't run the soundboard. I don't want you singing. I don't want you praying. Can you be in prayer? And most people don't have time to have a healthy prayer life with God. If your only prayer time is Sunday morning, you already dead. You ain't even showed up yet. The enemy does not sleep. He's fighting 24/7, 7 days a week, 365 until he gets your soul. Well, you got to pray and pray and pray nonstop. Are you with me, saints of God? You're going to have the presence and the glory of God. The devil ain't got no problem with you jumping and singing your little worship song. He ain't intimidated by that. But when he see you get a real prayer life, and you start living holy, you start living consecrated, and you ain't gossiping, and you ain't spending 8 hours on your cell phone talking about, look at me. And when you go home, they know the Spirit of God is so deep up in that unsaved people get uncomfortable in your house. How many unsaved people get uncomfortable in your house any time they come there? They should be shaking and say, what is this spirit? It's the Spirit of God. Amen. I know it works because that's how we live. Amen. If you ain't really saved, you ain't coming to my house. Because the Spirit going to say, man, what is this? I got to go. That's that spirit, that demon inside you. Yeah, you got to go. But when you got comfortable people that's unsaved can come into your house and they don't feel the presence of God, the problem is not them. The problem is you. And every time one of those kids open up a demonic cell phone, the demonic porters send demons in the house. And the parents pay for demons to be released in the house. Well, I want to make sure they say, no, if God can't keep them, they won't be kept. It's okay if you get quiet. I told you I'm going to take you over the cliff. Amen. So tell you never say it's time to change. Search yourself. Look at the mirror and say, God, am I living this thing for real? Or is my veil spotted? Now everybody do inventory. How many spots do you have on your veil? Are you still lying? Are you an adulteress? Are you a fornicator? Are you a Jezebel? Are you watching pornography? Are you masturbating? Do you have a spirit of envy and jealous? Is competition? What kind of spots are on your veil? Are you living a discarnival life at the job you save at church, and at the job you living a life of the world? We went inside and said, put your radio on. If I still hear working music, you the Ladea Seal Church. You lukewarm. And most Christians are comfortable living lukewarm. Why? Because the Spirit of God is not running you. It's the spirit of me, myself, and I. It's not the Spirit of God. And when Paul describes, he says, that's another Jesus. So you can say Jesus all day, but the real Jesus is going to break you. The real Jesus is going to transform your thinking. The real Jesus is going to set you free from addiction. The real Jesus is going to open your eyes to the truth. The real Jesus is going to say, keep on, keep on. That's the real Jesus. The real Jesus say, keep praying, keep praying, keep praying, keep praying, keep. That's the real Jesus. But that fake Jesus is going to say, well, you know, it's my, I got to take care of myself. I'm going to do me. Uh-oh, why are you doing you? The devil killing one of your children. Or putting your wife or husband down the path of adultery or fornication. Or living a lukewarm life. The devil look for you to say, I'm going to take a break. Because when you take that break, boom, he coming on in. You let him in. You wasn't on your post. I spotted. I spotted. Read, preach it quickly.
To the end of that which
abolished. Watch this. Anytime there's a presence of God, it confuses people. Y'all miss that? And I'm not talking about people that save. When the presence and the glory of God rests down on you, all of a sudden, the enemy now is so disbodilated, he don't know how to hit you. Because now he's like, okay, they're serious about me. They're serious about Jesus.
So you got to position yourself that the enemy know, number one, you're serious about Jesus. How many of y'all serious about Jesus? Do me a favor. If you're serious about Jesus, stand on your feet and give God a praise right now. If you're serious about Jesus, not the pastor, not the church, not the denomination, not me. Are you serious about Jesus? No man, no religion, but are you serious about Jesus? I don't hear you say to God. Y'all could be seated. You know how much noise they're going to make in that stadium on Tuesday? 90 decibels. They're going to be so loud, make the church look like they ain't even showed up. See, I always study the world events to see how radical it is about their false god. We was in a light district last night. We got a trailer called the Night Rider. It's a bad rig. And I'm watching demons scream and holler. But the world ain't playing. They're going to make some noise about their false idols. And they get excited about their false idols. And so we got to knock them down like Dagons. Everybody in here has some type of false idol. Your husband can be a false idol. Your wife can be a false idol. Your children can be a false idol. Your grandchildren can be a false idol. Your house, your job. Because those things become priority over Jesus. What is really number one in your life? Jesus. Well, it sounds good to you. You've been tested. Baby, I love you. We about to get a divorce. All of a sudden, we don't love each other. I need to get half. It was never about love in the beginning. It was temporary. Because it wasn't built to glorify Jesus. Because when Jesus builds something, I'm going to be honest with you, it lasts forever. Amen. When you build it, guess what? It's temporary. But you can repent and say, God, I blew it. I should have built it for you, but I got distracted. Lift your hand and say, Holy God, I repent for everything I built for myself. But right now, I'm coming into agreement with everyone in this room that you will take control of it. I place it in your hand and I remove it off of my veil. Give your Jesus a mighty hand of praise. Read some.
But their minds were blinded.
Whoa! Now this is dangerous. I didn't write this. Is it in the Bible? When somebody say they love you, but it's not authentic, their minds are blinded. If somebody say they love Jesus, but living a lukewarm life, their minds are blinded. If someone having multiple relationships, talking about, I love Jesus, guess what? Their minds are blinded. If you're playing on your Facebook, Instagram, TikTok, talking about some wicked stuff, your mind is blinded. Is that in that Bible?
Amen.
Is that the word of God?
Amen.
These are my words. Get mad if you won't. You'll get mad with Jesus.
Amen.
You can't stop Jesus. Amen.
Amen.
It's going to rock you and it's going to shake you. It's supposed to do it. I told you I was going to push you over the edge just a little bit. So your mind has become what? Blinded. And what happens when you live that false trinity, me, myself, and I, you can't see the truth. Because your mind is blinded. That's why it's hard to forgive people that's hurt you because guess what? Your mind is still what? Stay with me. Well, Pastor, I'm going to get married one day, but right now, you're lying. Your mind is blinded. Are you understanding what I'm saying?
Yeah.
Because a lot of people, they have this artificial false trinity, me, myself, and I, and their minds are blinded. Honey, I'm getting better. No, you don't want change. Either you want this house or you're going to take care of the house, but you can't have them both. Fool, you lying. Your mind blinded. You don't love us. So people make these artificial commitments and statements. It has nothing to do with the power and the glory of God. Because their minds are what? Blinded. And so what happens is people begin to live these artificial lives. They look like Christians, but they're so disconnected from the Spirit of God, their minds are blinded. Are you with me, saints of God? And then you'll come in the house of God saying, I'm holy. No, you're not holy. Your mind is blinded because you're still living in sin. But if the Spirit of God is not the residue of this house, you're going to feel no kingdom conviction. I'm not saying that. I'm putting it in content. You with me?
Yeah.
Don't play with God. Your marriage can't get better. You can't sex your man to make him love you. Because y'all got quiet just now. You can't give enough babies to make him stay home. That ain't going to save him. It needs Jesus. I was with my wife 35 years. And before I married her, I loved the strippers and the strip clubs and money and toys. She needed to have Jesus for me to marry her. Y'all miss that. I'm going to say that again. She needed to have Jesus. Y'all miss that, saints of God. You don't have to do all these artificial things. I see it all the time in these unhealthy marriages. The wife trying to be perverted. Victoria's Secret. Her perfume. No, they ain't going to keep him. He don't even see you like that. You need to have Jesus. I'm going somewhere with this. Because you say, but look, baby, I'm getting older. I'm not built. Don't worry about that. I promise you, if you got the Spirit of God, that's all you need. Now, here's what's going to be dangerous. Watch this. If you really got Jesus, women of God, stand up on your feet real quick, man. I want to show you something. Women of God. If you ain't a woman of God, sit down. It don't matter to me. Keep it moving. I'm saying this. If you're a real woman of God, if you do have a husband, the spirit of peace should be so real when he come home, you say, that's my wife. And she ain't got to get naked. Because I get peace when I go home. Y'all miss that. He going to know the difference between being at home with a spiritual woman of God versus an unsaved trick. Ain't no peace going to be over there. But when he comes to the house, say, oh, my God, baby, I'm so glad to be home. I got so much peace. Oh, your women say to God. But if that man ain't got no peace, the problem is not him. He's going to be held accountable for his action, but you ain't doing your job. Lift your hands up, women of God. Say, Lord, help me be a real woman of God. Don't be scared to say it. Like you got it together. You ain't got it together like that. I'm putting this in content. In whatever time that you have left on earth, do you want to live it in peace? I'm talking about real peace. Peace if you come home, I'm good. Peace if you don't never come back. Peace if I live in a shack. Peace if I live in a night. It don't matter. You just want peace. How many of y'all just want peace? So you can't buy enough peace. Say, dear Jesus, I thank you for my new identity. I'm going to be all right. Because I'm going after peace. I'm going to pray, Jesus. And I'm going to keep praying. And when my man come home, I ain't got to do nothing. He going to feel the peace of God. Say it like you mean. He will feel the peace of God. You might burn up the food. He ain't going to matter no more. Give God a hand of praise. Y'all could be seated. We told you.
Okay. For unto the day remaineth, the same veil untaken away.
Hold it. Now here's where it gets very critical. This is the New Testament. Amen? Amen. Your veil is very important. Because your veil cannot afford to have a lot of spots on it. We in our hour of the world is micromanaging people that say they love Jesus. And they're looking for you to be fake, a fraud, and a phony. Tell me you love Jesus. They ain't gonna never follow you to church. Because they don't see enough Jesus in you. You talking too much like the world. When people see Jesus, they're gonna want to know about your Jesus. But they're gonna want to know about your Jesus while it's just winning in a crisis. Y'all miss that. Don't believe you ain't wasting no seeds. Just keep living it. And I promise you, when that tragic hit them, gonna say, can you tell me about your Jesus? And I've seen thousands of people come to Jesus because they had to be in a crisis. That's why we got to be ready in this season. Amen? How many of y'all going to be ready for Jesus? Y'all going to be ready for Jesus? Read, soldier.
It says, the same veil untaken away in the reading of the Old Testament,
mm-hmm.
which veil is done away in Christ.
Go ahead. Uh-oh, watch this. Now, we see the writer makes it very plain, a spotted veil. And so to get your spotted veil remove, you got to have a real encounter with Jesus. It don't matter what's on your veil. I don't care how many spots on your veil. I stopped by to let you know Jesus is ready to remove that spotted veil in the washes, and more of him going to be in the midst. Are y'all with me, saints of God? I'm telling you a real story. Before the cross, I was jacked up. I was lost. I love strippers. I love prostitutes. I love money. I love cars. I couldn't see nothing but that. When I come to that other side, I ran into a man named Jesus. Uh-oh. I'm a witness that he's real. Because I don't desire strip clubs no more. Y'all miss that. I don't desire strippers no more. Y'all miss that. I got one wife right back there. And she ain't got to sex me up to make me happy. She got to just stay on her face for Jesus. Y'all miss that. Because when you begin to live a holy, sanctified life, it's all about Jesus. And so Jesus stopped by at his house to say, it's time to remove that spotted veil. Everybody in here, including myself, dealing with something. Ain't nobody got it like that. We all got spots. I didn't come to judge. I want you to be free. How many of you just want to be free? We like I want to have this conversation, Pastor, but I'm just too embarrassed. Don't be embarrassed. Because today, guess what? We're going to remove that veil. I'm going to come in agreement with you, and you come in agreement with me, and just jump out by faith. Amen. They never say it's time to get that spotted veil. out of my way. I want nothing but Jesus. Go to my next book, John. Tell them where they're going.
John 8:42.
I'm a word God. If you got your Bible, let's look at the word. Praise God. It's in the Bible, and we're just about done. Then we're going to have a corporate prayer, and I'm out the way. Amen? Removing that spotted veil. Amen? We all got issues. You got it?
Yes,
what verse are you going?
John 8:42.
Where are we going?
John 8:42.
Okay, read that.
Jesus said unto them.
Now watch this. Jesus was talking to everybody. We all guilty. Amen?
Amen.
We all what?
Guilty.
See, there's nobody here perfect like that. If you do, you're a transformed devil. Because the Bible says Satan has the ability to transform into an angel of light. You're lying, the truth not in you. Ain't nobody perfect in here. I am not perfect. I don't mean we jacked up. We need Jesus every moment.
Amen.
How many of y'all need Jesus? I'm talking about every morning. I ain't playing with this thing. It's a battle every moment. If you really follow the real Jesus, it's going to be a battle every moment. I'm just trying to hold on to my salvation till Jesus come back. And sometimes we get weary, we get tired, we want to give up, but guess what? You fight for your soul.
Amen.
How many of y'all going to fight for your soul? I can't fight for everybody, so I got to fight for my own.
Amen.
It's not a game to me, amen. Read, preacher.
It says, Jesus said unto them, if God were your father.
Uh-oh. That spotted veil. There we go. That spotted veil. The Laodicea Church, chapter 3, he describes a lukewarm church. That's us. In the writer, which is Jesus, he talks about the commitment to the Father. We got to ask yourself, are you committed or do you operate under that false trinity, me, myself, and I? This is what Jesus said. Don't charge me, charge Jesus. Amen?
Amen.
Read it again, soldier.
Jesus said unto them, if God were your Father.
Oh, watch this. He used the word if, meaning that it's not a true commitment. If you really love him, you're going to stop sinning. If you really love him, you ain't going to have envy and jealous and insecurity and rejection and a Jezebel spirit. And a prayer. You ain't going to have that. You'll say, God, I'm all in this.
Yeah.
That's why I use the word what?
If.
I got to get one more drink, Pastor. I can't let go of that bottle. Them demons telling you, go ahead and get drunk. You're struggling with something deeper. Was your father alcoholic? Was your grandfather? You got to get that stronghold broken off your life. There are people struggling with generation. And I don't like to say this, but we spirits attach ourselves from people that we close to. Is that, y'all understand what I'm saying?
Amen.
If your daddy beat your mama 9 times out of 10, you're going to beat your wife. Because that's a spirit. And that spirit's trying to live through somebody. I believe at the end, when a man hit his wife, he made one of the most dangerous commitments to show Satan how much he loved him. Because you've acted away it. Bam! Why would you hit your wife? You're supposed to love Jesus.
Come on.
He say, if, read it.
If God were your father.
You see that? If God is your father, a lot of things we would not do. Somebody lying. Either God lying or you lying. I'm going to set it a record. God ain't lying. You a liar and the truth is not in you.
Amen.
Oh, you hear me say to God? Is it in that Bible?
Yeah,
y'all going to never invite me back. It's okay. I still love you, Jeff. I am good with that. They said, don't bring him back, Pastor Jeff. I'm going to say, let him know it's good with my soul. Read.
It says, if God were your father, ye would love me.
Oh. If you love God, now your commitment is to love the Father and the Son with all your heart. That's in that Bible. But when you got that spotted veil and you got that false trinity, you love everything but God. But when you in denial, it's like a functional junkie. I've seen functional junkie. You could be operational in the house of God with a false spirit to blend in like the other saints and leave this place disrupted. No change. Because you know how to operate functional as a Christian. I go all over the world. I know what a functional spirit looks like. I said, that's a functional spirit. They don't love God like that. You got to know. And guess what? The person know it's a functional spirit. Because as soon as they leave it, they're going back into that same sin. You should lay at the altar till Jesus set you free.
Come on.
He's big enough to set you free.
Yeah.
I'm evidence he's big enough to set you free. I can't talk about you. I know what he did for me because I was on that side of the cross and I ain't ashamed of my past, jacked up.
Yep.
When I got on this side, he started changing my blind mind.
Yeah.
Did we just read that? You're blind. Men of God, don't be saying negative things to your wife. Calling her ugly or fat. I don't want you, nobody. That's the devil talking out your mouth. You know how many men of God do that in the house of God? Because the enemy lied to you. You're trying to break that woman. That's not the character of God. You don't love God like that. You love yourself. You're trying to control her. That's a Jezebel spirit upon men. Women, don't take that standing down. Get on your knees and say, God, I renounce that spirit. I am beautiful, and Jesus loved me. Say whatever you want to say about me. It don't even matter. Jesus see me, and I'm perfect in his eyes. Did y'all miss that, women of God? Praise God. And I say that because my wife come out of an abusive relationship. And she was broken, shot off shotguns to her head. She was married to a functional junkie, and he beat her bad. And so by the time I married her, I was broken. Oh, with me, I was broken. She was broken, but we met a potter that could put us all back together. Amen. Oh, y'all want to shout with me? And we was in so many pieces. He started putting us all back together, and he started forming me. I said, oh, girl, we going somewhere up in here. Next thing, we had that scar in our heart. He fixed that. He had that scar in my heart. He fixed that. We had that scar where I wanted to be at strip club. He took that completely out. You see what I'm saying? Because God is a potter, and he looks for broken people. He don't care how broken. It could be all broken. Like nobody else can put you back but Jesus. Do y'all believe that? I'm almost done. Next verse.
For proceeded forth and came from God, neither came I of myself, but he sent me.
Uh-huh.
Why do you not understand my speech, even because ye cannot hear my
speech? Watch this. When you in denial, that false trinity, you got deaf, dumb ears.
Yeah.
The Holy Spirit gives us good information, but you don't want to hear. Is that in that Bible?
Yeah.
Somebody tell you, I'm trying, I didn't know, I want you to serve. No, they're a liar, and the truth is not in them. According to the word of God. You knew exactly what you was doing. I'm not giving you no free pass. Don't talk to me like that. You got to challenge people and hold them. I'm talking about Christians. They got to be what? Challenged. And held what? Accountable. But if you one of them led to see chapter 3, Revelation, Luke 1, you're going to give them a free pass. You don't love them. They're going to end up in hell on your watch. Ezekiel chapter 3 tells us, warn the righteous. If you don't warn them, guess what? That soul is going to be on you. Can we have a prayer? Come on to the altar. Let's pray. Come on up. That's time for rededication. Come on up to the altar. Everybody. Well, those that don't come, we ain't begging to come up. We done, son. If you want to say, Lord, I got to get this right. Instrumental worship song for me, Pastor. And I want you to be serious. This ain't no playtime. I ain't come to judge nobody. I just want you to be in a place of repentance and get a fresh start. I'll never see you again. I love y'all. Amen. I told you I come to encourage you, to challenge you, and push you over a little bit. Okay. Is that what I said? I ain't never come to judge nobody. But you got to be equipped if you're fighting for your life. Come up just a little bit. Make room for other people. I don't like to be on pulpit. I'm just getting this so I can see you. Come up closer. You're right there. Turn this way. That's good. Come on up. Spread out. Y'all family, right? Y'all church family, right? Y'all love each other, right? Praise God. And we just going to be in a place of repentance. Pastor, I'm not going to go over. Okay, I'm not want to go over. I just want to be respectful to the house. Amen. I didn't come here to judge, condemn, to challenge you, to equip you, but I'm gonna push you over the edge. If Jesus came back today, are you in a good place with Jesus? Oh, I went to church. That don't mean you saved. I sung a worship song. That don't mean you saved. I spoke in tongues. That don't mean you saved. The devil can do all that. It's no special gifts. But I'm saying, Lord, am I stuck? And I need you just to complete the work. That's all I'm saying. God ready to complete the work if you let him do it. But you got to position yourself for him to complete the work. Do y'all want him to complete the work? And I ain't talking about just y'all, I'm talking about us too, amen. I want to be made whole. How many of y'all want to be made whole? You see, as you take a look in the mirror, just look at yourself right now and say, God, I want to get this right. I want to get a fresh start. And when I leave here today, I'm cleaning house. How many of y'all gonna clean house? I'm talking about yourself. I ain't talking about nobody. I'm talking about Lord, just me. Amen. Jesus, I want you to close your eyes. And I'm gonna begin to pray. And I want you to be first in a place of repentance. Amen. And if you want to get on your knees, you can get on your knees. I'm gonna get on my knees because I'm so jacked up. I need Jesus all the time. I'm just keeping it real with you. Amen. I am not perfect. I am sick and I need Jesus. But I'm saying if you want to get on your knees, let's spend a second. I want us to be one family, though. Just start talking to the Lord about repentance. Just repent. Just search your heart. Just take a minute to be in a place where, if you can. If you can, it's okay. You don't have to. I'm just saying, if you could be in a place of repentance, I want you to begin to spend a second, just begin to repent. Search your heart and say, God, I renounce that false trinity. Me, myself, and I. Jesus, I thank you for removing my spotted veil. I need more of you, Jesus. I need the Spirit and the presence of God to glean over my life. I take full responsibility for my actions. If you came back today, Jesus, please take me. I understand grace. I understand mercy. Forgive me for the times I've tried to abuse it. But starting the day, I'm committing everything to you, that unsaved souls will see the glory of God and repent and ask me what it takes to be saved. Forgive me, Jesus, for every soul I've caused to stumble. Forgive me, Jesus, every time I spoke a word that was not of you. Forgive me, Jesus, my life did not reflect a saved life. Forgive me, Jesus, every time I compromise the gospel in my home, in my life. Father, I repent for hurting you. I have no secrets you're not aware of. I have no thoughts you're not aware of. But today, Jesus, I'm getting a fresh start. I know you love me. Your love is so deep. Complete the work, Jesus, and make me whole in every area of my life that does not please you. Bless me not to be a man pleaser, but to live my life serving you. Bless my church family. Bless my community family. Bless my job family. Bless the body of Kites family. Keep my heart free from being a black heart. Take this mind and give me the mind of Christ. Give me a deeper desire and increase my prayer life, my study life. Give me a desire to evangelize the gospel. Give me a desire for lost souls. Lord, I thank you for this day. You allowed me to be in this house. You called my name. Thank you, Jesus, for loving your servant. Give me an ear to hear with clarity, with direction, until you come back. Bless me, Jesus, to have a conviction with the Holy Spirit that I live moment by moment. I don't want to be a fake. I don't want to be a fraud. I want to be all in. Now, dear Jesus, bless the pastors of this house. Strengthen them, God. Encourage them, God. Meet every need. Keep them protected from the evil ones. Bless them not to be easily distracted and drown out all white noise. Give the pastor a deeper desire to pray, to fast, to sanctify himself, to live a holy life. Father, you send all the sick people to us because we're setting this house up that the presence and the glory of God will break strongholds. Now, Father, we make declaration. Father, break the strongholds of drugs. Break the strongholds of alcohol. Break the strongholds of pornography. Break the stronghold of masturbation. Break the strongholds of divorce and separation. Break the stronghold of anybody being molested. Break the strongholds of envy and jealousy. Break the strongholds of competition. Make this a holy house, sanctified house, used for your glory. In Jesus' name, give Jesus a mighty hand of praise. God bless you.
Praise God. Hallelujah.